constantly goes out.
But she prays about it.
And a fridge that's all.
And she has other people praying for her computer.
That's what he's saying.
She was in China a week ago.
Right?
Then Ben, she was in...
Please tell me someone from Lenovo came out
and
gave her a new...
Thailand. And she says, I turn it on and it doesn't work. And 5 minutes later, it works.
How bizarre.
See, now in my world, I just call that a problem waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember how long ago that was? That's been months ago.
Yeah. Was it? It was last year sometime, but it wasn't a year ago.
No, no. It was months ago.
And then I'll be gone again.
Is Yuya as positive as you are?
About what?
Life.
No, that's all.
Should have seen her last night. She's very positive.
I know you're very liberal.
She wears me out with her positivity.
Really?
She's exhausting.
How was the melodrama? Do you
good.
Huh? As good as last year?
I don't think so. Yeah, half of it was a six-pack kit, and the other
one
was
a lot of problems.
Fine, how are you? Yeah.
It was fun.
I'm not in. I don't care for slapstick comedy. And the whole second half was slapstick comedy. Had nothing to do with the six-pack kids.
But that's what
melodrama
is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Well, it's turned into more a Broadville kind of.
Last year was outstanding.
What do you call it?
Vaudeville.
This year it's good.
Vaudeville.
Well, I know they had a lot of problems.
Did Candy do her Elvis?
Yeah, like the main girl got sick. Then they had all kinds of sick problems.
Did she ever?
Oh, I didn't hear anything about that.
She had her hair kind of short, but she was.
Did she play a man?
Ball.
Have you ever seen her do an Elvis impression?
And then she.
Who is this?
Candy.
Oh, Candy did a great job. I thought, what a great role for her.
Yeah,
just completely.
And then she did whatever the song was, My Man.
Oh, the one where she's pulling stuff out of her dress? Yeah.
She's funny.
They did rehash a lot of those old skits.
Yes.
Yeah.
I miss the vacuum cleaner man, though.
He
didn't do that
this year.
Yeah. He did something similar, but he was very good. And his granddaughter, who must have been, 7, 8 years old, she stole the show.
Yeah, she was a cutie.
She's really good.
Well, I saw the first night and last night. I thought last night it was much tighter, and they had good sound. They had better sound than they
had
the first night.
That's why they sell out on the fourth night, because by then, I guess.
By then, they're experts.
They're experts, and they just cut loose.
Yeah, well, and they definitely felt a lot. I felt like they felt a lot more comfortable on stage than they did the first night.
The first time I met Candy, that was 4 or 5 years ago, she had long hair, she had on a dress, and she got up and did an Elvis impression, and she sounded and looked like him. You should have her do that for you sometime. It's incredible.
Wow.
A woman doing Elvis, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So you went to the melodrama?
I haven't gone yet. If I do it,
you went last night?
Sunday.
And you say it was good.
It was good.
Very good.
It wasn't as good. It's
been better, as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
But it wasn't bad.
No.
I mean,
it was funny.
Who's writing the program now?
I don't know who's writing it.
I think it's the girl who does the piano playing. That's what I was told.
You have to get those.
I looked him up on YouTube.
Oh, I'm not going to dedicate a nerve to
Google.
Get up there.
Yeah. He's got
I can get up
wide career in the States.
Or in a platoon or a company of soldiers.
And that was his grandfather.
Yeah.
But to get up there on the stage?
Yeah, the daughter, you can recognize her and the granddaughter.
The piano player that lives on his boat here in Taipei. And he's really
a character.
Oh, yeah.
He's a character.
Is this Daryl you're talking
about? Yeah.
Daryl?
Very funny guy.
Yeah.
Well, they say he was a professional entertainer.
Yeah.
He is a director, from what I understand. He does skits like that.
He performed all over the stage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I looked him up on Google.
You like the show?
Oh, yeah. It was great. The oldies were great. Everything was great.
What about the dancing girls?
They were good. My favorite part, though.
My favorite part's the dancing girls.
Jesse got up on the ladder to fix the light. That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah?
It was very slapstick. He gets up on the ladder to fix the main light, loses the screw to put the light back together.
You thought it was part of the show.
So
now I feel like I missed out because that was at the time I'm messing around with my phone.
Who's that young guy that was Rooster? He was great.
Oh, yeah. He's been in a number of them now. Yeah. No, he's a good performer. I don't remember his name at the moment, but he's been very entertaining in a couple of the melodramas.
I started going every other year because it was always the same old story with a new title. And so last year was my year to go. And I was so impressed because it was totally different from what they did.
Last year was
16 years. Last year was excellent. I guess I better go.
Well, plus gold members this year had to get tickets, which I guess I just didn't read that.
Oh, is that new?
Yes.
So even if you have a gold card,
that was
they're sold out.
Yeah. For tonight?
Yeah, they're already sold out.
Everything is sold out.
They mentioned at the show last night.
Behind the wall.
But we did have 2 or 3 rows in front to sit for gold card members, and that was very nice.
Did you go in the building?
I
still haven't
that
been in the building
is
yet.
It's nice. Gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous. You go into the restrooms, and the corners are concave, no sharp corners. You know, easy to clean. Beautiful. It is better than almost any building, as good as any building in the U.S. has ever been in.
You're talking about the new Riscotti?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Really nice.
Well, Pat would be proud of that.
I can't believe that there's hospitals in the States that have carpeting.
Oh, God. Let our imaginations wander with that one.
Uh-huh. No comment.
Well, I walk with Brett Wiseman every morning. We do about a mile and a half, 7 days a week. He's a hard-working guy.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, Sonny, easy.
That's okay.
It's hard because you got to get all the way. And it's got 13 of them. Oh, they've got different ones. They got. You
well, I know the bartender.
Okay, then I'm doing that.
The bartender.
Yeah. Well, now they got the pie.
And I know the guy that runs
they got
the lights.
Pies. Right now, I'm the one doing. You got to get 3 pies on them.
Well, you know, you're talking about at the show.
It's hard.
You know the sound guy. He's an off again, on again computer club member.
Who is that?
Jim. Yeah.
Okay. He does the sound.
Yep.
Bart does the lights. How was it cold?
Yes.
It was cold.
Cool.
And I'm in there with the.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's been colder.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have on socks. It wasn't that cold. I didn't have on my fleece. It wasn't that cold.
But you're from Colorado.
Yeah, well, I've been here since October, though. So no, it was chilly. It wasn't cold.
Yeah, it was chilly, not cold.
It got chilly. Like,
I remember when I first went to Arizona, it was hot all the time. And now I'm cold. Look at
the sun goes down.
Sweater on. Mm-hmm.
Well, the wind. Yes.
Right, and I noticed my.
I know I went in there. Because the yacht club was having a Western night. So I bought this nice Western shirt. In the men's section, got on this. Gee, this button's kind of strange. So it was a woman's shirt. I didn't know that. I'll take it back,
well,
I guess.
The Mexican men wear shirts that just look kind of like women's.
You thought, aren't we going to have a computer club?
Sure. I was just sending out a tweet here.
Oh.
You know, I felt that was club related. I'm just tweeting out saying, we're streaming live. Now, I've had it on for a little while, so anybody that's tuning in with us a little early is listening to us talk about the melodrama, which is appropriate for before starting time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to retweet this across my Facebook feed. And now you know what a social media, social network nerd I can be. It's the only time I'm online is when I'm tweeting out, here we are in Computer Club, getting started.
You have a story?
There we go. So, should we get started? It's 9:17. We have a little bit more sparse of a table than typical, but it's still a lot of people that are here. I'm Scott Stimson, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and we come together every week, Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15, to try and help each other solve our computer problems and report on anything we find interesting in today's tech news and share new insights with people. We've been spending the morning talking about the melodrama, which is going on here in San Carlos, until Tuesday or Wednesday? Wednesday is the last day. And they're sold out, so you're going to have to stand behind the wall, as Maggie put it, if you want to see it and you don't have tickets.
Hide behind the bar.
That's right.
No, they've moved the bar.
That was the only thing that I thought was a little... I love the outside of the new building. I haven't been in the new building yet. But it did kind of cramp their stage area there. They may have to rethink that again for next year. Any topics? Bill isn't here, so I had to remind myself to turn on the chat room, which I did. So it's already up, even though nobody's in it but me.
Bill might be there.
Yeah, Bill, if you're listening, we're expecting you in the chat room.
Are you talking to yourself again?
I am.
I have a Netflix story.
Oh boy.
Good, because that was the next thing I was going to bring up is Netflix. But Chester, let's hear your story and I will color it.
You know, remember last week I said, you know, Utopia, everything's perfect.
Yep.
That night I got shut off.
They were listening.
So Wednesday, and Utopia has a chat room. I went under there, you know, where you put in your name and you ask a question and then some guy gets back to you in a minute or two and you start having a back and forth. And I told them my problem and they said, well, here are five cities that we suggest you go to. And so I did, and I went to Las Vegas, was one of the five, and ever since I've had Netflix.
All right.
I find that Long Beach is a good
place. Yeah, they mentioned Long Beach, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas.
I tried
New York. No, not Atlanta. I can't remember the fifth.
Well,
I just chose Austin, Texas was the next. I just chose Las Vegas. I think they were worried about it going
anywhere. It'll be interesting to hear over the next couple of weeks if you continue to be successful. Paul, did you want to add something?
Well, I chatted with one of their techs one time because it kept dropping out, you know. And if you're watching a video and it drops out, you don't know if it's just buffering
or
if it's ever going to come back. Well, if it's dropped out, it's never coming back unless you reconnect. And so I told them that it would be good if the icon would suddenly turn red at the on the bottom of the screen if the link failed and dropped out. So that we would know that. And he gave me some goofy answer. When you go, oh, well, that might be too complicated for the user. I don't think so, but...
Okay.
Ed is still having success with Unotelli or Unotelli.
You need Unotelli? Okay. Maggie and I got into this last week, and we couldn't get Hide My Ass to give us Netflix.
Oh, really?
Everywhere we went with Hide My Ass, it still recognized that we were on a proxy. And you had talked to Hide My Ass, and they had no recommendations, did they?
They did, but it was everything you and I did.
Yeah.
Someone told me yesterday, he has Boytopia, though, but he told me to make sure that all of my devices were on...
all your what?
All of my devices were on Hide My Ass, and everything goes through the
sure.
router, the ASUS.
Yeah.
Well, I got to thinking, remember when I told you my husband's computer would not could not sign on with the Seuss. He had to use Infinitum.
Oh, okay.
So I thought, well, maybe that's the problem. So I turned his computer off last night and tried it again. It still didn't work.
It still won't connect to that
well,
one.
Well, I have a solution. I have a solution. Somebody said that, because my wife has an iPad, and she was able to get Netflix, and we weren't getting it until we solved the problem. And she was getting it, I wasn't getting it, and I said, what's the problem? I was going to call Hide My Ass. They have a local U.S. number.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was told that they are providing a VPN, and it's not their problem. It's the same way with what?
Whitopia. No, you're absolutely right about that, Bob.
They say, we're providing you a VPN. We have nothing to do with Netflix.
That's right.
And so you're not going to, they're not going to give you any satisfaction at all.
Well, I think Maggie, in with a nice conversation, has gotten them to agree to give her half her money back.
I did get
that. Yes, they will give you your money back. Yeah they will do that.
Whitopia didn't take that attitude.
What?
They did not take that attitude. They were trying to help.
Yeah, I think Hide My Ass is at their wits' end right now. I've had another experience as well with somebody that's having the exact same problem. And I think right now any of these services, if you're getting in them to get around geolocation, I sure wouldn't prepay anything. I'd take advantage of their free trials and if they work
and
after
we
a week,
one.
By month to month.
Remember that? We tried...
Yeah, we tried getting on to...
Unlocator or something?
Yeah, Unlocator, and it didn't make any difference. It wouldn't work.
So then we got to thinking, what if Netflix has flagged my account?
Well, yeah, that was the other thing that I was just speculating, that it wouldn't take much for... What is obvious is that Netflix, instead of taking a passive stance in this, is taking a very proactive stance in this. And so if you haven't lost access through your VPN provider, it's coming. I got into some discussion groups that were happening right now, no older than 9 days old. And you could follow the discussion as people are like, okay, this is working, try this. That's where we got the recommendation for Unlocator. And then 2 days later, they're like, oh, yeah, that's working. 2 days later, you say, no, it's not working anymore.
And so, I may have that same problem next week.
That's right. And that's why I say it'll be interesting to continue to do these Netflix reports, because for Maggie and my other customer, HMA is not an option anymore. There's just, yep. We were all over the United States hooking it up and not having any
lines. They're providing a VPN.
Well, that is their job, and that was the distinction I was trying to make last week, is that if you do get into any of these, you should get into them with what they're selling you as access to Netflix, because then you have a grievance with them. If they're selling you a VPN, well, they are providing you with a VPN, as Bob says. The problem is that Netflix has the resources to keep track of all these IP addresses that come from VPNs and flag them. They don't even think there's anything wrong with what you're doing. Their problem is they don't see where you're coming from with these VPNs. I mean, actually, what they see is they see you're coming from this pool that's used for VPNs, so they can't determine exactly where you are. And so that breaches their terms of service, which means they're not going to give you service.
They have to be careful what they say, too. I'm sorry. Because they kept saying, repeated to me, we're providing you protection. And finally I went back and I said, how can you say I'm protected when I'm on Hide My Ass, but my IP ID is Mexico? Say I'm in Phoenix, but my computer says I'm in Mexico, so you're not protecting me. So therefore I want my money back.
Well, there is an alternative that once I lost Netflix, I switched immediately to Amazon.
Right.
Amazon Prime. And, man, they've got almost as many movies and a watch list as Netflix. So Amazon Prime is certainly not yet cutting you off.
Again, this not able to reach Netflix is a Netflix thing now.
What is wrong with Mexico Netflix? Because that works.
Right. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just it's a different catalog. And in like Maggie's case and others, I imagine, there are no English subtitles.
We need them because we're both hard of hearing. I solved that problem thanks to Chester.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do?
I was chatting with him Sunday morning. I went home and I got out my iPad, my iPod earphones.
Okay.
Plugged them into the remote on the Roku and gave that to my husband so he can hear it.
Oh, okay.
The sound. He can hear the English now. And then I read the Spanish subtitles because I'm trying to improve my Spanish.
Well, I'm hard of hearing too, and I have Sony headphones.
There you go.
Okay. Well, when you my wife says, turn that TV down. Yeah. I can't sleep. And I say, okay. So I turn it all the way down, turn up the headphones. I can hear perfect.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
When you plug in the the headphones in the Roku, they cut off the audio on the television. So you're the only one at that point.
The person with the earphones, only one that can hear. And last night, for example, we watched a movie I'd already seen. And so he watched it. It was in English, but no English subtitles. I watched it in Spanish. Well,
Maggie, my folks do the same thing, and they just cuddle up, and they've got a headphone jack splitter, and they both have their own sets of headphones in the same remote. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to do that.
Yeah, very easy to come across.
Ricky, we're going to cuddle up.
I gave Bob my Western Vision.
We watched that movie, and
he hooked that up. Now it works. We'll figure that out.
Well, was it not working before? What was the problem with it?
He was using Roku before.
I really don't know. Other than
your Netflix.
This guy
I'm
over
sorry.
Here, with his iPad, they said that with the iPad you have no problem at all. And I hate to admit that. Okay, there's something that's different about the iPad that you get through.
It's more expensive.
It's more expensive.
Really? That's true.
Well, I thought that. Can you get Watopia month by month, or do you have to buy?
I don't know, because I just renewed for the year.
You're buying a VPN.
Right.
If the VPN, I'm really. You haven't talked about this for some time. The Series 6, you mentioned month.
Oh, the. Okay, yeah, IP version 6.
All the problems,
yeah.
Okay. When is that going to happen?
Tomorrow.
Someday. Well, how do you know about manana? About 6?
6 has been around since I was in college. We've known this problem of running out of IPs has been around since we first started assigning IPs to stuff. And so they immediately built another standard. And every aspect of the industry has been moving towards that standard, and still we're not on it. There are specific areas like networks that have been set up specifically for IPv6, but most places run IPv6 unknowingly alongside IPv4, and they still connect to the large network at IPv4. So it's, I don't know.
Well, I would imagine that
we ran out of IPv4 addresses last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're really rehashing stuff and keeping it moving with this old stuff. There's a gray market selling IPv4 addresses back into the pool, so other people can take them and use them for things. There's been this releasing of IPv4. Addresses, thousands of addresses that have been given back to.
Well, I'm also hard of hearing. I'm going back to Tucson to get a hearing aid that has a phone adapter. Okay, I'm kidding now because I don't know if they exist.
They do.
Do they really?
Absolutely.
Because we look around our house for our portable phone, and can't find it. But the other thing is that some of you were interested in Mach TV.
Mm-hmm.
My Mach TV, for some reason, is working perfectly now, too.
Oh,
it's
good.
Not buffering.
Did you buy new equipment?
Yeah, new router. Did you get rid of Hide My Ass? Did you?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah. And it's all working.
Yeah. You know, Hide My Ass is not working for him.
Yeah, but you.
Hide My Ass is working.
But you're still connected to
it. Mexican Netflix. It's not working.
Okay, but I also have, right now, I guess I don't have a need for it. But I still have it because I have what amounts to is I have HixNet and I have TiVo.
HixNet.
I would imagine that's your Wi-Fi name. Your Wi-Fi network's named HixNet.
Yeah. But I go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. One of them represents your infinitum connection, and the other one represents your HMA connection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just two different Wi-Fi signals in your house.
And I'm really excited because I'm going back to Tucson, and I'm going to get rid of DirecTV because everything on Mach TV is on
DirecTV.
DirecTV.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing that Linda's been using. Hers has got a little more, I think.
To the IPTV?
Yeah.
Would you hook up a TiVo to that?
You can hook up...
Gosh, that would be neat.
You can hook up a DVR, yeah. It won't... It won't record on a stick.
Would it support an actual TiVo DVR?
It said it'll support any DVD or DVR.
Any DVR.
And it gave you a... an AC, you know, the one with the one, and then it splits out, so you can hook it up to your. Sent the box out. The RCA cable, where it's one cable, and then it's got the three cables at the other end.
The red, white, and yellow.
You can plug that into the box. And hook it up to any DVR. It said. It just said they were originally supposed to let you record on a USB stick. Because they have a USB in the front and the back, but on the website they said no, you can't do it on the stick. So something must have happened. Or
is there a way to get closed caption on Mach TV, Linda?
It's already on some of the channels, and if you don't want it, you can't get rid of it.
No. It's already on some because we have a
ABC on the East Coast. Almost everything you see on there has.
Hey,
but movies no.
Gary, can you verify whether that's a closed caption on your Roku or the closed caption function on your TV?
I tried to get rid of it on the TV and I couldn't. I pushed every button that suggested it might be a way to do it.
Okay. It's like the signal you're receiving has the closed captions turned on.
And the other thing about the East Coast CBS one for Boston that I get is that quite often a program like NCIS or something is video described, I think is what they call it. Somebody's talking and telling you what this guy's going over. Now he opens his car door. And
that's the editor's cut.
And if you're not into that, that can really be annoying.
Yeah. Well, that's got
to
be
there's no way to get rid of that either.
For people that can't see.
Visually
impaired. Yeah. Accessible channel. They can hear, but they can't see. So they describe all the actions.
I have Mexican Netflix because I've got the Netflix on the smart TV.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Now I've been noticing that. You know how when the picture of the program comes up, and then with the side, there's other more episodes. They've got a subtitle thing in there now, and I never saw that before.
Oh, for subtitles? Yeah, no, it exists. It's just they don't. The only content on Netflix in the Latin catalog that has English subtitles are Netflix original programming.
And not all of them do.
Oh, and not all of those do either? Wow, that's hard to believe. But so that would be House of Cards, things like that, things of that nature. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, this content that is genuinely unique to Netflix. And it is instantly globally accessible because they don't have to argue with a content provider. They are the content provider. And that's really where all this needs to go, is just globally licensed content. But they're working within an old school system. Things have been the same for 80 years, and they've changed it in the last 5 to 10 years.
Because they still want to get paid.
Right.
Claro Video has movies in Spanish with subtitles in Portuguese.
Right. Hey, have you been playing with Claro Video? Have you found more English content as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if it's part of our infinitum contract, we should all be looking at Claro Video and seeing what it has to offer. You might find that you can get your Netflix thirst right through Claro Video, especially if you have to compare it to Netflix Latin catalog. You're comparing content, but the features are going to end up being the same. You're not going to find English subtitles. So if you're stuck with, that was one of the main reasons you were trying to use Netflix in the States. Netflix Latin may be very similar to Claro Video.
Claro Video, is that gone now?
No.
Replaced by Brim?
What is Brim? I haven't heard of Brim.
You haven't heard of Brim?
No.
No,
I was told that Claro Video is out, and Brim is now what they're calling it, and it's totally different.
I just got an email from Telmex maybe 2 weeks ago about Claro Video.
Yeah, that was promoting Claro Video. But if something like that happened, I wouldn't put it past it. You know, we still use Prodigy Internet here. Right, because in Mexico, these organizations have to be a legitimate Mexican organization. You don't have McDonald's Global in Mexico. You have McDonald's Mexico. It's owned by McDonald's Global, but it's a Mexican organization. And that's how Prodigy Infinita, Prodigy is. It started out as an American entity, and they bought a chunk, or actually they were purchased by Telmex to do this. In Mexico.
Have you heard of
Rainierland.com? No.
Yes.
What is?
Someone told me last night it's free movies, and yeah. I looked it up. I couldn't get any of them to open, but a lot of options came.
Rainier.
Like Mount Rainier? Yeah. Rainierland.com.
When you go to stuff like that, does it throw a lot of stuff at you that you don't want to see?
Yes.
You got to have that blocked.
Well, I use Netflix. I have no trouble with it.
Free
never
movies.
Had any trouble. I get English subtitles and it's right through my router. And if there's a movie I can't find, I go to my Amazon.com account, find the movie, or whatever.
Well, and again, this thing with the VPNs is really, it is Netflix taking a proactive stance on this, mostly for marketing, I can imagine, so their content providers know that they're upholding their end of these licensing agreements. Amazon hasn't had to do that yet, and so Amazon's still working through these VPNs. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Amazon's already started offering some online content here in Mexico, and so we're going to start seeing a U.S. catalog and a Latin American catalog. And at some point, Amazon's probably going to be facing the same kind of issue with their content providers. But they have a huge catalog. I came today, I wanted to share with you a quick story about Amazon Mexico, because you guys know I've been purchasing stuff in Mexico. And I've been very pleased with how quickly I'm receiving stuff and the support I've gotten from Amazon on the stuff. I bought a fitness tracker back in the middle of February and used it for about 3 weeks without any problems. It was on my wrist. And actually, I really started to enjoy it. It had a screen on it, and the screen stopped working. It was from Garmin. And I was perplexed because all the functions of it continued to work. Except the screen. If it didn't have a screen on it, I wouldn't have been concerned about it. All the data was still going into my phone. It was uploading to my Garmin account. I was able to track my distances, my activities, my calories, my weight. I could do all that stuff with it. I could do it all through my phone. The screen provided me with things like a watch, or I could look down and see how many steps. I really didn't care. I really didn't. But it was broken, and so I should send it back, because maybe that's not the least of the broken bits about it. And so I contacted Garmin and Amazon at the same time. And Amazon immediately, probably less than 24 hours, said, well, do you want to return it? Do you want us to replace it, or do you want to return it? And this is, keep in mind, this is like 3 or 4 weeks after I bought it, right? And so I'm like, well, I want my money back, because by that time I've already looked at other people complaining about the same thing, that this screen is not an unusual occurrence with this particular model. And there's plenty of people that have had success with it, but I figure I'm buying products that are being sold from a warehouse in Mexico. What do you want to bet? There's a batch of questionable products that ended up in Mexico. I don't want to take my chances. I just want my money back. And you laugh, but it's true.
Yeah,
it's,
it is.
I have run back to Wymas to replace the same hard drive three times because each one of them had the exact same kind of failure. And I can only imagine they were all in the same box because they're the same name brand, same model number. They probably all got squashed at the same time.
You're not talking about A-data.
The box
no,
dropped.
No. Yeah, the box, the same box dropped.
Right. Yeah. And we were all the same one. Diamond in the back room, put it back in the box. Right. Here you go.
There was a day when I was buying parts from people, I would be like, let me see what you do with that drive. But no longer. I don't feel like that's, but that is funny. That's, so, like I said, I contacted Garmin and Amazon, and immediately it gave me this option. Said, I have to do this within 10 days, print out my own label, call DHL, and they'll come and pick it up. And so I start messing around with Garmin, because I'm thinking, maybe Garmin wants to have a good reputation in Mexico. Maybe they'll immediately provide me with a new one that is going to be more reliable because they don't want to hear from me again. Or even better, maybe they'll offer me an upgrade into a new product. I've had those experiences too. I've had Western Digital external drives die on me, and I send back a 1 terabyte drive and get back a 2 terabyte drive just because that's easier for them too. Yeah. Make me happy. So Garmin starts working with me, asks me for some information. So I give them some information. And then they ask me for some more information because I'm in Mexico and they'd like a copy of my receipt. And so I very easy from Amazon to go back to your order, and you can print out a PDF of your receipt and attach it to an email. And what was frustrating was I filled out a customer support with them, and 2 days later they got a hold of me. They said right there 2 to 3 days, and they stuck to it. Every time I wrote them an email, I heard back from them within 2 days. I mean, at least 2 days it took for them to get back to me. They'd send me an email. I'd turn right around and send it back to them. 2 days later, I'd hear from them. And the last one was kind of the last straw because I was getting close to the deadline to send it out with Amazon. I had sent them kind of an obnoxious email saying, look, you guys are... Oh, yeah, and they had, in the midst of these messages back and forth, they said, you're in Mexico. What are you doing in Mexico? Do you have a Mexican address? Do you have an RFC? Are you a Mexican national? Do you want Spanish support?
Are you a fugitive?
So I went, I mean, it was bought in Mexico, right? So, I mean, I fill out all this information, and I have an RFC, so I gave it to them, But it was that one that I wrote kind of an obnoxious email going, look, I feel like I've already provided all this information. Here it is again. I've already talked to Amazon. They're ready to give me my money back. I just wanted to see if Garmin would do something for me instead, maybe offer me the newer version at a discount or something. And so they got back to me saying, hey, it sounds good if Amazon will give you your money back. And
I'd do that.
Let us know if that's what you decide to do. If you wanted to, and then they wrote to me the procedure how I could trade it in for value towards the next thing with a 20% discount. And just, I like, obviously making it more painful to deal with them than Amazon. And so I'm like, screw you guys, and I stuck it in a box and taped a label on it and took it to DHL.
That's exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, they wanted to pass the buck, and so that's what they did. And Amazon was very good about it. They told me in the return, I wouldn't see my money until they saw the product. So I stuck it in DHL and just kind of prayed. I tracked it online. Within 3 days, they saw the product, gave me my full refund.
Wow.
Super. You're good about that.
It's a virtual pray. I pray to the computer gods.
So did you?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't. But go ahead.
I contacted Dell Mexico. The computer was only about 3 months old, they actually sent a technician down from Hermosillo with a new screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Replaced it right there in our house and thanked me very much for calling them.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
That's about the best service I've ever got from anybody.
Well, I think Dell is rebuilding their whole image.
Well, Dell is now owned by HP, aren't you?
Yeah.
Dell? No.
No.
No. Dell is privately owned now. Michael Dell bought it back.
Bought it back.
Yeah.
And they're doing a really good job, I think, marketing and new computers and all that stuff.
Well, you know what their business is now is venture capital.
Is that right?
Yeah. Their business is in financing. Okay. And so the computer thing is kind of a side. It is their image, like right. you say, but they're making very generic products. Well, anyway, just for anybody interested in using Amazon.com.mx, it still is all in Spanish. I can't figure out a way to get it into English. You could use a Chrome browser and do inline translation. Some of you have already had experiences with that.
Yeah.
And it's adequate for a lot of things. But I do find myself at times looking at a product going, this is a lousy translation. And I'm reading it in Spanish going, there are a lot more details than what I'm seeing here. And I'll switch over to Amazon.com and look up the same product. Go, oh, there they are. That's everything I wanted to see about that product.
Does anybody, do a lot of you use the translation?
Oh, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you really? Mm-hmm.
I don't. I mean, I end up coming across it on a lot of your folks' computers. I find a lot of you guys are using the inline translation that you can get from Chrome. Well, it's a feature in Google Chrome.
You bookmark it.
Really?
Oh, well,
That's a different one.
Now, that one I use a lot. There's translate.google.com, and you can paste things into it, and it'll translate into English for you. And I use that a lot. But the Chrome browser itself has an inline translator.
It's in the system.
Yeah, it's in the system. And does anybody know how to turn it on?
Well, I have Google Translate.
Well, do you know how to turn on the Translate in Google Chrome?
You go into the three bars up at the top. I think it's
the hamburger menu. Yeah, into settings.
Click on that, go into settings, and somewhere in there it says translate, are we automatically translate, or let me decide.
I recently... Yeah.
That's my Amazon.com.mx account.
I was
translated using Chrome?
I don't know, it
on
just
Amazon,
comes up.
Mexico. And I think
what browser?
I don't know.
TV tape.
Probably
set. Chrome. Then I right-clicked and got translation.
And it translated.
But it wouldn't translate anything.
Google Chrome. In fact, it says page has been from Spanish to English. Using a clip.
You can go in your Google Chrome also into your account, you know, in the beginning where you put all the different. Also add, I have English and Spanish in mine. That way when the keyboard comes up, it's got the Spanish keyboard on it.
That's in Chrome? The Chrome account?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm. You can go into your Google Chrome account, not into the settings here.
Right.
Go into Google Chrome account.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about your Google account.
Yeah, go into your Google account and you can make all the changes in there that you want.
Scott?
So what...
Linda.
No, Judy?
Judy.
Judy. I wanted to say JJ.
Close.
Judy was just showing me was Google Chrome on an iPad in her Amazon.com.mx account, and it was doing a genuinely decent job of translating the whole page into English. So that looks like a very viable solution. Right. I'm going to pursue that. I still
look though on the U.S. side.
Scott, let me explain if I may.
Yeah.
What I experienced. I was recently trying to find a TV, and I was looking at Amazon Mexico, Costco U.S. And when I got to Amazon Mexico, if you have the page has all the TVs on it, you can't translate that one. But once you've clicked on a specific TV, then you could right-click and translate it.
Oh, okay.
Just on the specific
just on the specific one.
Not general.
So what kind of translator was that?
I don't know. I guess Google.
Okay.
But anyway, what I found was kind of interesting. I found Amazon quite more expensive than Costco, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally went to Hermosillo to Costco, I bought the TV for the same amount it was selling for in the States.
Right.
Which really surprised me because the value added tax and all that stuff, because of the exchange rate.
Well, Chester, I told you, my new TV set is from Amazon.com.mx delivered to my office door, and it cost $4 more than if I had gotten the same TV in the United States sent to an address.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's things have changed.
I found Costco versus Amazon to be quite different.
Yeah.
Amazon is my problem.
Well, and we're still subject to what's available, but the things that are available are much more competitive in price. Like for $4, I couldn't afford to go up and try and bring it across the. I mean, they would ask for duty to be paid on it when I got to the border. Yeah.
But I could afford to go to Amazonia.
Yeah. For $4.
No, not for $4.
Yeah. Well maybe on a Segway.
It wasn't $4.
You ride a bike to Hermosillo for $4.
I bought my TV at Liverpool. And when we went in there, a manager came over because he spoke English. And we had been to Costco with the price. So we have the prices from Costco, Sears, all that written down. And he goes, well... And he starts going through the computer, and he's got price from all these different people. He gave me the price they had at Costco on the TV, so
I bought
it at Liverpool and they delivered it.
That is great to know.
Yeah. Liverpool's very competitive, by the way, for TVs, appliances.
Where are they at? Never heard of them.
Mm-hmm. Big department store. They're like a
cross between Hermosillo.
Bloomingdale's and Macy's. They're in Hermosillo. When you go like you're going out of town, going through town, okay, and you keep going through town, you go through the little section there.
Yeah.
If you stay in the left, you'll see an overpass that goes up to the left. That takes you up to Lewis and Cenas Boulevard. Just follow that right there, and you'll come up, and there's Liverpool, Sanborn's, Office Depot, Office Max.
It's right by the university.
Yeah, Smart, right by a university.
Do you know where Ace Hardware is?
And the Ace Hardware.
Near
Ace Hardware.
Yeah. Keep going, and you'll come to Ace Hardware.
On that street.
On that street.
But it's right downtown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Linda, do you have any idea where a friend can buy a dishwasher? He gave away the one that was in the house, thinking he was going to get a new one.
Ooh.
Well, he can go to Lowe's up there. He can go to Liverpool. He can go to Sears. He can go to Home Depot. Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
There's lots of places.
My neighbor bought one at Home Depot here in
Guaymas.
Yeah, about a refrigerator. Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
Now the question is, where do you get the soap?
You use CLR.
Sam. CLR, what's that?
Calcium. Calcium lime and rust remover.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's fun if you just use regular
CLR kind of cleans the calcium from everything.
Well, you know what we use, and this is getting digressing from Computer Club, but we use those individual packets. Those work awesome, but where do you buy them around here? We always have to bring them down from the States.
Costco.
Sam's and Walmart.
Okay.
Sam's Club, too.
Sam's and Walmart.
Ooh, I'm going to look on Amazon. I can't imagine there's much import duty on soap like that.
I have a question about Facebook when we're ready.
No, we're not going back to computers, are we? Hey, before we go to your Facebook... Can I just say, has anybody noticed, I don't know if you have much Spanish language in your Facebook feed. I've got quite a bit. I've got a huge Spanish family, or Mexican family, speaking Spanish, and lots of Mexican friends. So, Dag, have you noticed that it started translating by default?
Yeah.
Really? By what?
By default, when you,
really?
As you're scrolling through your feed.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
It's crazy. I'll be reading, and all of a sudden there'll be something that doesn't make any sense at all. I'm like,
what?
Right? And it makes me go, huh? What are we? And then I notice underneath that it says "see original," translated from original.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you set that up?
No, I didn't set it up. In fact, there's an option that I'm about to turn on to say stop doing it automatically. Because it throws my thought process off. So
it doesn't translate. Turn it on.
What's that?
There must be an option to turn it on.
Oh, no, there's an option to turn it off. It's just on.
It came on by itself. More and more.
In a very Facebook fashion, you were opted into it, just like facial recognition.
I was on there this morning and I had
to stop reading Spanish.
Well, there is stuff that doesn't get translated, but there's a lot of stuff, especially like posts from friends.
The ads aren't translated a lot of times.
Yeah, the ads aren't translated, and I've got some feeds that I follow that are like Mexican newspapers, and many times that hasn't been translated.
Mexican bands, they don't translate those either.
Yeah.
Forasteros didn't get translated.
This sounds dangerous. Dishwashers are dangerous. Because when they quit, then nobody knows how to wash dishes.
That's when you buy a dog. Just let him lick
And telephones.
With that approach, you don't need vaccines either. You just build that immune system naturally.
This generation that we are right now, we're okay because we've experienced the old,
right.
The old prank telephone, you know, things like that. But the next generation, they're all going to go insane.
Yep. All right.
They're all going to go insane.
Well, I used to repair my own cars, but I'm not insane.
You can't do it. I want to go back to Paul's Facebook question.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you get rid of it? A friend of mine wants to get rid of it.
You don't.
Facebook. And she can't.
You don't.
Get rid of Facebook?
You can go through a procedure where they'll eliminate your account, but your friend has to understand it's a matter of record now. Anything... that information's not gone. It's just not available to him.
Yeah.
It's not available to his friends, but that information's still sitting in servers.
You mentioned Jim a little while ago. He set up a page 5 or 6 years ago and decided didn't like it.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get rid of it. It's still there. He put his name in.
See, also, if you die, if someone dies and they have a page, you have to send in their...
well, that was big news recently.
I wish I'd never lived
in order to get them to take the account off.
Yeah, in fact, there's actually a big thing right now, and I haven't looked too much into it, but they're talking about, it would end up being a good, for a morbid reason, it'd be a good topic for us, is these procedures people are going through for the next of kin when it comes to your digital assets.
Yes.
And how is your wife or your husband going to get into these things if you pass away? How are your children going to get into these? Who actually owns this stuff?
Some of the...
Like the terms of service of your digital goods with iTunes doesn't protect your music and movies to go to your next of kin. But legally, if you've willed them away, then there's this area there where they have to help your next of kin get access to those things.
My sister's husband died, and he had an account with, I think it was, I forget exactly who it was, maybe it was Dish or one of these. So she called him up and said, well, my husband's died, and I wish to terminate the service. And the lady says, well, you can't. I says, why not? Well, it's in your husband's name. Well, how do I get rid of it? So the lady told her, stupid lady, well, your husband has to do it.
Oh.
And she argued with that woman for, she said, about 45 minutes, slammed down the phone, called somebody else, and went through the same thing. Finally, she said she was so mad, she was steaming, they won't let her out of the contract because her husband's not around to do it. And it's in his name.
You can hire a lawyer.
Yes.
Go to court. And you can get it done. And
hire a lawyer. Hire a lawyer. $350 an hour or whatever.
Right, $350 an hour.
Yeah.
Are you liable for that, though? I mean, like, is she liable to the debt he incurs if that doesn't get paid?
They said she did, but they took care of it. She had to go down the office, give him the death certificate and everything, and raise hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because
close out the bank.
Yeah, do everything.
Yeah,
but I've often thought of that. Like, I do all these things with automatic deductions. All my bills are paid auto deductions. And what about some things like Netflix or Dish TV?
It goes on forever.
Yeah. So you better have the account
number.
No,
let's be fair. It goes on until it's not paid for.
That's right.
And that's the angle I would always be working is let's cancel that payment. It's like the bank, if you're having that much trouble, the bank's going to believe he's dead a lot easier than some joker on the end of a customer support call.
We had to call for an automatic payment. We had to call. We provided a death certificate. And then they stopped it.
What was that, Russ?
I said, I put everything in my wife's name and my name.
Car title.
Oh, okay.
So
if you both die in a car accident, your kids are going to be.
They're going to have a hard time.
If you belong to a gym in the States, you can't get out of it even if you're alive.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Just sign everything over to your dog.
I have an easy question.
Okay. Wait a second. Your question was how to get rid of the account.
Yeah.
And there is a procedure. I don't remember what it is, but I would just Google cancel Facebook account, and you'll find Facebook's procedure for getting them. And Jim could do that too. That page could be removed. The content will always be known by Facebook, but that doesn't mean that the community would be able to see it.
The lawyer, because he says, you can do it, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it. I haven't looked at it. I remember it being a topic many years ago because they didn't have a way to cancel accounts,
but
and then they created a way to do it.
I
am certain, but I don't know how to do it. That's the important thing about knowledge is one skill is to know what you're capable of. Another thing is to know what is capable.
Why would you want to cancel it?
Oh, well, I think Gary's example of Jim's page is a perfect example of it. He doesn't want that page out there anymore. He doesn't want the community to see it. He doesn't want anybody. He just wants it gone.
Doesn't want the world to know his birth date, where he
lives. I never put any of that stuff.
Where his friends are.
They've just decided that information shouldn't be out there. Or maybe it's bad information. Or it's one of these things where somebody has died and it's inappropriate for it to be out there.
Facebook, I use
it. Yeah. Russ, they still know who you are.
You'll always know.
They've done facial recognition in my computer club pictures. They know who you are.
I have 50 friends. I have never signed up for Facebook.
Bob, I want you to prove you have 50 friends.
Your friend Hector wants to talk to you.
Scott, just look where he's sitting. Nobody
can
sit next to him.
That's right. That's a good one, Robin.
I also have a computer question after Maggie.
Well, mine's a real simple one, I think.
All right. We're starting a line. Go ahead, Meg.
We were talking about it earlier. Every now and then my husband will get, we're open our Google page, that's our home page, and get into the email, and then there's another tab up there that says home page. I can't make it go away. Sony told me how to do it about 2 months ago, and I've already forgotten. And it's in the hamburger thing, whatever you called it. It's somewhere in there in the settings.
And you're trying to get rid of the button?
The tab. There's a tab. There's two tabs at the top. One's the page I'm looking at, and one says home page.
Oh, that's just sitting in the background.
So,
in Chrome, Firefox, and Internet Explorer, they have settings for what's your home page going to be. It's in settings.
Yeah.
On Chrome, you go into settings under that hamburger menu, those three bars. And I'm bringing as I rattle on so that I can tell you exists.
In preferences, I think.
Well, it's actually under settings.
Settings.
There should be a little icon.
Settings.
Well, it's one of the first things in the settings page. I don't think you even have to scroll. It says on startup, and it has three radio buttons. And the first one is open new tab page. Second is continue where you left off. And the third is open a specific page or set of pages. Then there's a link next to that that says set of pages. And on set of pages is where those things are listed.
We have a repair. So somewhere in there will let me.
What's that, Rod?
You can delete it.
Repairman coming. We've got to be.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. All right.
So under seven
settings, there is no open to a blank page, right?
There is. On Chrome, there is. The first one is open a new tab page, and that's a blank page. Yeah, but it's actually not a blank page.
It brings you to the...
Bob's loving my discussion today.
And that page has suggested pages in the middle, though.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say, is that it's not actually a blank page. It has a search bar provided by Chrome, and it has suggested places you've been in the past
That's the second page you open, right?
It can be the first.
Yeah, it can be the first
be your
page.
Home page.
Yeah.
So that somewhere in that under set of pages, I should be able to get rid of that extra tab.
It's just got it listed out as one of the tabs. Yeah, in fact, under Chrome, it's the Google. I'm looking at it right now. It's the Google page, and underneath it, it's got suggested pages based on where I've been in Chrome in the past.
But if you want other tabs, or if you want to get rid of that tab, I would close that tab and then go to this menu. Set of pages, existing pages.
Oh, you're talking about using a current page?
Yeah. Well, when you go down here, it says set of pages. If you've already closed that tab,
right,
and say use current pages, then that tab will not be there the next time.
Oh, if you're using the option for current pages. Okay. So if I could reiterate, I think a better way to look at it is set up your pages the way you want them. Then go into open set of pages and click use current. So you can have a page for your email and a page for your favorite search engine and a page for... And then you can go under open a specific page or set of pages and click set pages. And in the lower left-hand corner of that is a button that says use current pages. And it'll look at those tabs that you have open. And it will set that as the standard when you open up Chrome.
Okay. Thank you.
Gary, you had a question.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Windows 7 computers, one with Windows 8.1, and I got a 10. And the 7s and 8s keep coming up with this get Windows 10.
Go to Windows 10, yeah.
It's a little blue thing. And then lately, the Windows 8.1 has a bigger one with a couple options. I don't even know what they are. They just shut it off. But can you expect a difference if you loaded Windows 10 into a 7 or an 8 or an 8.1? Is there anything that...
They should all lead to Rome. They should all end up at Windows 10. And the only difference would be the individual computer will have its own set of software installed on it, and so that will be brought forward into Windows 10.
You don't have to delete anything before you start that process, do you?
No.
You don't need to make room for it.
Well, hopefully you have room for it. I mean, those are the kinds of maintenance things you want to do beforehand, is make sure you have enough room set aside. But even the installer tells you that. It'll tell you that you need more space.
If you don't have it, it'll say so.
Yeah. Backups are the thing that I think are the most important. You always want to have the ability to put that device back to the way you bought it. It's kind of like the lowest common denominator. If you're having any kind of problems with it, if there's any questions about the licensing, you'd want to be able to restore that computer back to the way it was out of the box. And so that's where the backups, and I've said many times, 3 backups. You want the system restore from the manufacturer. You want to have the image restore to put it back the way it was before you did anything.
And then the
incremental backup, which includes your data.
Okay. Yeah. You were saying that in Windows 10, you can talk to your computer and get... If you update a computer to that, is that still there?
The system exists. Now, that's a good question, Gary, because I've dealt with that on low-end computers. This was a Windows 7 starter edition, low-end to begin with. It was sold as a low-end netbook. That's what netbooks were, is they were these low-end computers. So they had performance problems. They have video problems as far as being able to play higher definition content. Their processors can't keep up with it. And audio. When I use this, even with Windows 10, if I'm doing any video and audio, things are fine until I try and do something else, and then things start getting choppy, at least in the audio. And
only because it doesn't have enough.
It just doesn't have enough oomph. Yeah, it's just the computer was never built to have that much oomph. And so I've got a computer. I've got this computer with a built-in microphone, built-in webcam. I can use it for Skype conversations. However, when I turn Cortana on, I lose a dramatic amount of my performance.
Now, why is that happening?
Because it wants to monitor the microphone. And it wants to, I mean, it's two things. It wants to monitor the microphone, and it wants to be sending this information out to Microsoft servers to help with your search queries.
It's competition.
It's just asking the computer to do more than it's capable of doing.
And that's the case with this one. And after that November roll-up, I got an amazing amount of performance out of this computer. I still do. I attribute it to about a 30% performance gain from Windows 7. I didn't get that initially in July when I first upgraded it to Windows 10. I got good performance. It wasn't worse. In a lot of cases, it was better. But it was nothing to really mention to anybody.
That was Windows 9
anyway. Well, yeah. I mean, essentially, that's what we were looking at. And then when we went to that big roll-up at the end of November, beginning of December, amazing cross-the-board performance increase across the entire computer.
That's what you get now.
Yeah.
The only difference between buying a new 10 computer and your old one is the new one has a touch screen. You can move things around with your finger.
Sure, yeah, the touch screen, still you can think of the touch screen as adding about $100 to your purchase. But it's worth it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I never use it.
And Gary, I to tell you a story, my other computer is a 2007 Dell laptop that didn't have a microphone built into it. So I'd have to go out of my way to add speech to it if I wanted to. And still I suspect I would have performance problems with it because of the age it is.
A friend of mine does not like that icon. On a Windows 7, it says, ready to upgrade your computer to Windows 10, okay? She said, I got to get rid of it. I don't want a Windows 10. So I always go where it says delay it for 14 days or whatever.
They will. They are going to phase it out. What I find interesting and genuine is how there's no talk about not giving you Windows 10 for free. There was a lot of talk on how we were going to get for free, the limited period of time. Right? There is no more talk about that. If you're running a Windows 7 computer, they want you on 10.
Well, of course.
If you're running a Windows 8 computer, they want you on 10. And there's no talk that you're going to lose your opportunity to get 10. If anything, the talk is, my computer upgraded to 10 without my authorizing it. That's the biggest complaint right now is I did not tell it to, and there are stories of people coming to their office the next morning, walking into their office and finding Windows 10 sitting there instead of Windows 7. And Windows 10 has been put into the recommended updates. So if you've got your automatic updates set to install recommended updates, well, you're going to come home to Windows 10 at some point.
Well, Windows 10 sure improved the desktop over 8.1. I mean, it's a major improvement.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, I think people that don't want to upgrade to Windows 10 are just, they just don't want to, the learning curve is a little bit, but not that
not
much.
Not at all.
I think it really spans more from privacy issues. I mean, I think there is a genuine concern. If you have a concern about Windows 10 is probably considered a cloud operating system. Mm-hmm. It's probably the last Windows version that we will ever have as a big package installed, and it will be incrementally updated to the times. Every moment something new comes out, it'll be integrated into it. Your device will determine how much of those new features you're able to take advantage of, and it will be like what we were talking about with Cortana. Can you talk to it? Well, you can, but not on my computer.
Well, Linda was very nice the way she put it about Windows 7, because I still have Windows 7. But I would like to know what you mean by improved performance. What? Because the computer is limited.
Oh, across the board performance. Faster typing into a screen. I like Windows 7 on this computer. One of my frustrations was how long it would take for it to recognize I was typing into a window. The how quickly a window will minimize or come to full screen. The ability to drag a graphic window around on the screen. All of these things are so much faster in 10 than Windows 7 now. And if you look at the history, actually Microsoft has a history since Windows 7. Each operating system required less of the hardware. And the exception is things like can you talk to it? That it's a new feature and it's really only available with computers that can support it. Windows 10 comes with its Hello feature for security, which allows you to use your face like a fingerprint. But that doesn't come with my webcam. That comes with the new Hello certified webcams on the new computers being sold with Windows 10.
But you said Windows 10 had a security problem over more so than
Well, Windows it's 7. What I was getting at is that Windows 7 is really Windows Vista. With a lot of bells and whistles taken out of it to make it perform better so people were happier with it than Windows Vista was. It's an ancient operating system. Windows 10 is a very up-to-date operating system, and what that brings with it is instant repairs. They find a problem with something, they can shoot down a repair. They've got diagnostics being shot back to them. You don't have a lot of control over those diagnostics. You've agreed to allow those diagnostics to go out. There's a whole slew of things that if you just picked Express Setup, you have agreed to have that information funneled over to Microsoft. And a lot of it includes your Microsoft account data, like the talking to it stuff, getting to know your voice, getting to know your speech patterns so it can give you better searches. All that information gets shot over to Microsoft. And so there's a lot of there's privacy concerns. We've discovered where we thought things were shut off and they weren't. And now they are because they were discovered that they weren't and Microsoft has patched them and fixed them. So security people have been upset with Windows 10 and see it as an issue, not from like a virus's standpoint, but from a privacy, like an Edward Snowden kind of standpoint.
Where you think the computer is off, but it's actually sending your voice in the room. Or
well, and let's say some of that is actually broken and has been fixed, and some of that is a misunderstanding of how this technology works. And if you wrap your head around it, then you're making a wise decision on whether that bothers you or not. A perfect example of that is like the Amazon Echo. We were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. The Echo, the Dot.
I have a meeting, so we'll see you later.
All time. Right, Paul, but I'm on fire and you're going to miss out. You're going to have to listen to the recording. But the Amazon Echo, the Amazon Pod and the Amazon Tap, these are devices that are constantly sending information back to Amazon. If anything, just to find out if you're talking to it or not.
Does the computer use resources that otherwise impede whatever you might be doing at the time when it's sending this traffic back and forth to Microsoft?
Well, I'm convinced that's the reason for the performance loss whenever I turn on Cortana on my computer. Because of that whole process, because of having to gather up that information and send it off to Microsoft and receive information from Microsoft, it's slowing down the whole performance because it's not a high-performing computer in the first place.
What if you're not online?
If you're not online, you can't use it. In fact, it'll tell you got to get online. If you turn off your geolocation awareness, which is integrated into Windows 10, it'll say you can't use Cortana because we need to know where you are.
Yeah, Google tells you that all the time when you're on, like, your phone and your tablet.
Yeah.
If you turn off, because if you have malware bytes, mm-hmm. they have that new security fix, and every time you go on the security fix, it tells you to turn off the location. But then you turn the location off and you try to go someplace, and it tells you you have to turn it back on.
Yeah, I like the talk to feature. I think it's very effective on the right computers, but it's such a performance loss on this. I turn off location, I turn off Cortana, and my computer runs so much faster.
Yeah. You were at my place one day and you were asking your phone questions like that, and it was giving you, if not simple answers, it was giving you places to go. Is that the same program?
No, that's Siri on the iPhone. And so nowadays we are comparing Google Voice to Cortana to Siri. Those are the three big players. Well, and now Amazon Echo. But Echo has only been incorporated in, or I should say, Alexis has only been incorporated into the Echo product line. But I think very shortly we're going to see that technology. I think they're trying to get it out there, but I think we'll see that technology in Amazon Fire. We'll see it in their tablets where you're talking to Alexis on the other Amazon devices.
Well, that's all the information I can. Awesome.
I
just had one thing.
One thing.
On the TV, you had mentioned House of Cards.
Oh yeah.
You're not watching House of Cards, and I'm a pretty political person, but I'm not going to get into that. But we're in a political election time.
Sorry.
You really should be watching House of Cards.
Excellent.
I understand it's mimicking what's going on.
It is definitely mimicking, and the other thing is, if you really watch it, I think you're really going to find out that that's exactly how the government works.
Oh, I think it's absolutely right.
They all come up to you and go, well, if you don't do this, but I'm going to do this to you, mm-hmm. everything is, I'll scratch my back, you scratch yours.
Sure.
I mean, they're up to the minute. Well, I've finished already the season now. The season was way too short. You know, because they put the whole season out, so you can just sit in a couple nights and watch
you
the whole
can't
thing.
Well, they started a new season just recently.
Four. Yeah, but it's already, they have the whole season on Netflix.
One through but, four. You can
Linda, I don't know if you're aware, but my father is a former state senator.
Yeah.
And I got into politics long after that. I started paying attention, and I was complaining, and, you know, open-minded youth, kind of frustrated with the system. And he sat me down and told me this story about passing the state budget. And I don't remember his words, but in the end, the story was how they gutted this bill. And he used an example. It was some bill that would obviously get passed, like Love Fluffy Puppies. And they gutted everything about Love Fluffy Puppies, mm-hmm. and they put everything the state's else, yeah. budget inside it, yeah. because mm-hmm. they knew it was the only way that they would get the
I do that
get
all
the
time.
Bus.
It's funny you said that because
I was so disillusioned and heartbroken after that. I'm like, how can they lie to us like that?
not the town hall meeting with Bernie Sanders and Hillary, but the last debate of Bernie and Hillary. They were talking about one of the bills that was passed, you know, because then they go after you and they go, well, you voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole thing is you voted for it, but there's all these sections.
Yeah.
They don't
I
read
voted
them.
For it because three out of the six sections or whatever it was were okay, but then they have all the, and they've always
right.
talked about that.
Well, and is it realistic for us to hold them accountable for something that they obviously couldn't have read before the vote?
Yes,
they've got all these advisors that are supposed to be out there reading these things
correct.
And giving them the idea how to vote.
So I need to ask, though, was your father was a state senator in Alaska? He must be Republican.
No, he's Democrat.
Really?
Yeah. Proud Democrat.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising for Alaska. Yeah.
Well, and one last note on my father. My folks, they left this morning, and he wanted to just say thank you guys for always making him feel so welcome and part of this group when he comes.
Oh, he's nice.
Hey, yeah. Interesting man.
He has a nice kid.
Yeah.
Nice kid.
Pacemaker thing going.
Yeah, but his nice kid, and us, he has to start thinking for himself.
he doesn't have a pacemaker.
Well, what is that machine you brought in that he had?
Oh, the EKG device.
Oh,
yeah.
The EKG.
Yeah, that's on the phone. Yeah, no, he's not using it as often anymore because he's out of that kind of concerns. And
oh,
so
good.
He's using it less frequently. He pops it on his phone occasionally if he thinks he's got something to be concerned about. Kind of the same way you might run to the doctor and he put him on an EKG. He doesn't feel like he needs to do that.
He doesn't have a pacemaker.
No, he doesn't have a pacemaker.
Oh, okay.
No. Scott, no, but he is, I hate to out him, but he is a marvel of modern technology. He's had a number of angio stents. He's had a double bypass operation. Wow. He's had a bladder scraping for cancer. Him and I are so opposite that as I get older, I get scared I'm going to die at a young age, because he is so good about getting in about his health, and I am so bad about getting in about my health. He's in his early 70s. He's about 70. Geez, how old is he now? He's 73 this year.
Start praying for your kids.
Yeah.
Because you might die.
Right. Oh, thank God. You, Bob. And on that note. Yeah. We've all been on that journey.
My mother was a staunch Democrat. My dad was a Republican, kind of so-so. And I realized that most of them, they're both about the same. Yeah. One's just slightly better in some ways.
Yeah, the ones in the middle. The ones that think.
I've really...
You gotta think.
If we're talking politics, I've finally reached the point where I don't associate myself with any
well,
particular
safe.
Side.
I
like to side myself with good common sense.
Well, you're still working. You can't.
Well, that's why we're getting so frustrated, is because they won't group common sense into the same camp.
No, this or this. You can't have what's right. But I have a question about my external hard drive. I bought one.
Okay.
Can I back up both computers on it?
I bet you can. At least the one I just handed you is small enough that another one can fit. You've got like a 256 SSD drive on that computer.
Okay.
And your husband bought...
Probably the same.
And I think at the time that was about as big as you could get. So I don't... What that would represent is half the hard drive that you just bought.
Okay, so I'll do mine first. Am I going to screw it up?
I don't think so.
I'm scared to death to do it, but... So I'm going to back up the system... I've got all my documents and things on a stick. I don't need to put them on the...
Well, I would use file history. I would just plug it in, and it'll say, do you want to use this drive for file history? And you want to say yes, and then forget all about it.
So I want file history and system. We'll say, do you want to back up the system? We'll say that.
Oh, well, yeah. You will want, like, a system image if you want to restore it. And that you'll have to go after. But under Windows 10, it seems like you can have both. Under Windows 8, you couldn't have both of those in the same place. And I think we've gone back to Windows 10, you're able to have both of those in the same place.
So I have to look for system image. It won't...
If I remember right, you do. And you probably want to do that first.
I'm afraid to even plug it in. I haven't even done that yet. I just know I'm going to screw it up.
Well, I mean, I can help you with it, but I don't think you can screw anything up. I think you should try it. And you might find system image, you might find a reference that says something like Windows 7 system image, and that's totally acceptable. That's what you want from the system image. That will replace your hard drives with the same partitions.
So it's okay to do that.
That's what you want, yeah. But I think I would do that first, and then I would assign it to system to file history.
Okay.
And what that'll be is a disaster recovery backup. Like, that drive would be able to put the computer back exactly the way it was. And file history is the incremental backups. Yeah.
Okay, my husband wanted me to ask you something, but I don't remember what. So you can go ahead.
Okay.
I'm calling you.
Well,
to
I am going to sign off. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson again. We meet here at Tequila's every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. And I'm kind of on the countdown because my last Computer Club is going to be the end of April. So we've got about a month and a half before I'm out of here. These guys are always welcome to meet, but you're definitely not going to be getting recordings or live streaming. So I will be in Alaska, being a bed and breakfast host. But while I'm here and while you're here, maybe you're looking for computer help, I'd appreciate it if you'd call my offices. That's International Computer Solutions. We're at 226-0209, or you can stop by 151 Linda Vista. We're back behind the old Heaven's Door restaurant. This computer club is a recording that we do for posterity. I stick it on a blog that you can find at sccclub.org. Or you can subscribe to these. I try and publish them fairly regularly. Today, again, was a late publish. I published last week's today. Hopefully, this one won't take that long. But you can find that searching the iTunes store for the San Carlos Computer Club. Again, this is Scott saying thanks. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, and tech on.